Welcome back to Travoltine Presents Easy Riders, hosted by Jeff Sweeney and Stuart Elmore, covering Destination Wedding with special guest Cole Bradley.
All right, can I just start right off the bat by reading some heater IMDb trivia facts about this movie?
Let's go.
Number one trivia fact, 259 out of 263 people found this interesting. In real life, Winona Ryder and Keanu Reeves have been friends since the 80s. That's fact number one. Fact number two, Lindsay's address is 14 Catalina Drive, Newport Beach. Fact number three. In one scene, Winona Ryder's character mentions to Keanu Reeves' character, Frank, let's play devil's advocate. This is a small allusion to The Devil's Advocate, a 1997 film that also starred Keanu Reeves. Fact number four. This film was shot in 10 days.
No shit.
Fact number five. This film wasn't announced until it had already finished filming and entered post-production. Those are the five facts I wanted to share with you today.
That's great.
The main one being, if you didn't know, that they've been friends since the 80s.
And they technically have been married under the Greek Orthodox Church.
Since 1992.
Since 1992.
Do you ever think whoever actually lives at that address is constantly getting swarmed by fucking Destination Wedding heads, like the people who live in Walter White's house are? It's Walter White. It's Breaking Bad, right? Where the people who live in that house like keep threatening to shoot bands who come by to take pictures.
No, it's because people keep coming and throwing pizzas on their roof. I remember seeing it like a headline once where it's like someone threw a pizza on these people's roofs. And then like I was like, huh, funny. A few years later, we will shoot people who come to our house because we've had so many fucking pizzas thrown on our roof.
I just put the headline, no more pizzas, please.
I'm looking at 14 Catalina Drive, Newport Beach, California.
I know Newport Beach fairly well, actually.
Okay, there is no 14. It's a 400.
Oh, so they were smart.
Yeah.
How far is Newport Beach? California is, of course, a fake state.
That doesn't exist.
And is too big. So I always have a really bad sense of like what the directions are between Newport Beach and anywhere in California.
Newport Beach is
What's the distance between Newport Beach?
It's directly south of Anaheim.
And San Luis Obispo. I know the distance between Newport Beach and Anaheim specifically.
It would be
I know very well. It's everything else.
If you were to follow road laws, you could reach San Luis Obispo from Catalina Drive 4 hours and 17 minutes.
Okay, so this is my first point. I have just pulled up that exact piece of information. Just drive. Don't get in the world's worst plane. It's a nice drive. Like, one of the nicer drives in the country is along
the Pacific Coast Highway
there, right?
Yeah.
I've done it. It's just a lovely trip.
Here
we go. Your truth.
Oh, it's a nice drive. Like, that plane they're in seems miserable. I don't want to be in that plane. Do you want to be in that plane? I have immense logic about the plane. I have questions about the plane, but my first point is just drive.
I like that the plane, they say it seats 8 people. There are seemingly 6 seats, and then there's a love seat in the back.
I was just about to say that. It's like, no, of course.
Okay, here's the real question. We need to get into the meat of this. And this is not even my greatest logical issue with this movie, but we need to hack this out. The entire first scene of the movie is predicated on Keanu being the first person to board the plane. And then he's the last person to board the plane.
Yes.
What happened in the middle there?
He clearly, you know, he felt the call of nature. He ran to the restroom. And then while he's, you know, unzipping, he's hearing flight 745 to San Luis Obispo boarding. Now he's like,
oh, God, no, Jesus Christ. Victor Levin, I have questions.
We should reach out to Victor Levin. Victor. Get some clarity on this.
Yeah. This is number what collaboration between Winona and Keanu?
Fourth.
Fourth.
Four.
Four.
That's a lot. It's Dracula. It's
Scanner Darkly.
Scanner Darkly. It's Secret Lives of Pippa Lee.
Secret Lives of Pippa Lee.
And then Private, it's Private Lives of
Private
Pippa
Lives.
Lee. And then it's Destination Wedding.
Plus the Private Lives of Joe Biden.
I have to correct you guys.
Yeah.
I have to correct you on something, Jeff.
Yes.
This movie is not called Destination Wedding.
Oh, it's Destination Wedding or A Narcissist Can't Die because the entire world would end.
If they had gone with that title, I might have even like been a slightly bit more okay with this movie. But like, it is the most like. We'll get to it. I did not like this.
I'm gonna say on multiple fronts. Here's what this movie is. This movie is the cinematic equivalent to getting in your bath. The bubbles are just popping up. You have a nice glass of Cabernet seated on the side that you can grab. The tea candles are all burning around, and your speaker is playing a nice little, you know, guitar tune, and you're feeling at bliss. You're feeling happy. You feel good. That's what this movie's like. Watch this movie like that.
It is so funny.
Wait, I have one thing to add to that. Everything you just said to that is correct, Jeff, except. The vibe of this movie is everything Jeff just said. But then right as you set foot in the bathtub, your wife comes in and is arguing with you for an hour and a half of why you didn't do the fucking dishes. This is the vibe of this movie.
Jeff, I'm going to tell you something. Yes. You are describing a movie specifically, and it is not this movie.
What movie am I describing?
I know what movie you're describing, and it's not this movie. The movie you're describing is Halle Myers Shire's Home Again.
Oh, what a good movie.
Why are we watching Home Again?
We should be watching Home Again, right?
Stuart, have you seen Home Again?
I don't think so, no.
Stuart, it's so good.
Home Again is about a nice girl.
Yeah.
And her three nice boys.
Three nice boys?
Yes.
I'm looking this up.
It's also about Zan Cassavetes. It's like a Christmas Carol, except instead of being visited by three ghosts, he was visited by three nice boys who help him figure out his love life.
They're really nice.
They are extremely
nice.
They're
very nice boys.
So you should watch Halle Myers Shire's Home Again.
Jeff, have you seen Goodrich yet?
I've not seen Goodrich yet.
You're going to fucking love Goodrich.
Sir, do you know what Goodrich is?
You're going to have such a good time.
It's the
time
next movie
Goodrich.
By the same director, except it's what if Michael Keaton was old and has a girlfriend who's the same age as his daughter? That's the pitch, right?
Weirdly, not as relevant as you'd think.
Okay.
Yeah, it's both more and less complicated than that.
Sounds good. I'm in.
Yeah, you're gonna love Goodrich.
It's already left theaters, so I can't go see it.
I know. They fucking did Michael Keaton dirty.
They put the hit out in the same way that they're putting the hit out on Clint.
Here's the thing about Goodrich. I'm not gonna say it's Michael Keaton's best performance of his career, but it is probably a solid silver.
Mm-hmm. You think it's in there?
Yeah, I think it's on the Rushmore.
I need to see it.
God damn. $600,000 on its opening weekend. Fuck.
It played like three theaters.
Yeah. Okay. Cool.
I'm going to open up. Okay. Let's see what the theater counts were for Goodrich.
If it's more than Juror Number Two.
They're going to open Juror Number Two wide.
You think it'll happen? I hope it happens.
It's too embarrassing for them not to.
Sir, did you hear that they're railroading Clint Eastwood?
Why are they railroading?
So you know how Clint Eastwood makes a lot of movies about guys being railroaded?
Okay.
About like Sully, and it's like, he's a good man, but you know what? The FEC or the F...
Okay.
Oh, the shit. FAA, they opened it on 1,000 theaters. Never mind, Stuart. Never mind.
What?
They opened Goodrich on 1,000 theaters.
Oh, yeah. They made $600,000.
That's really bad.
But Stuart, Juror Number Two. Clint Eastwood's made a lot of movies about, he's a good man, but they were Richard Jewell. He was innocent. Yeah, he saved it, but they railroaded him.
They railroaded him.
And okay. Warner Brothers is now railroading Clint Eastwood. He's 94 years old and he made Juror Number Two.
Okay.
His new movie.
Okay.
Warner Brothers, financed it.
Okay.
No, they didn't.
They purchased it. That's right.
This is the weirdest part of the Juror Number Two drama.
They purchased
it. Is that Warner Brothers said they weren't going to make the movie. So he made it independently and then they bought it.
So they bought it because Clint Eastwood's been a Warner Brothers guy his whole career.
Yeah.
Or for a long time.
Yeah.
And they bought the movie and everyone's like, oh, well, it's nice. They're going to release Clint's probably final movie.
Mm-hmm.
And then Warner Bros. Puts it out in 50 theaters with minimal to no advertising. and is not reporting box office data. They're railroading him. They're railroading him, Stuart. They're railroading Clint.
Damn. You know what they say. Justice is blind.
Yeah, I
went to guilt sees everything.
I went to go see Juror Number 2 yesterday, which is a great movie. And it was a sold-out screening, and it was me, Mark Tilly, and a variety of older men. It was great. It's exactly the energy you want.
This is good. This is really good.
But this is not a Juror Number 2 podcast. This is a Destination Wedding podcast.
Can it be a Juror Number 2 podcast?
Talking about Juror Number 2. So, Cole, besides the Keanu of it all, which has obviously been like your through line on our Easy Rider show, you specifically wanted to cover Destination Wedding, I remember.
Yeah.
What's your story with this?
I had seen it. And therefore, I felt it was uniquely qualified amongst citizens of the United States that I had the right to talk about it, I guess. I don't know. It was just that I wanted to complete the run.
Complete the Keanu's.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, I actually looked it up. It's almost been 6 years to the day.
Since you saw this?
Yeah.
This movie.
We should be recording this on Tuesday night.
Yeah, this movie does give big, like, Tuesday night bubble bath energy. That's my thing.
Well, but specifically this upcoming Tuesday night, we should be recording this.
So that we can call the presidential election. heat check, because last time you were on the show, Joe
Biden
dropped out.
Was this a morning movie?
This is a morning movie.
Well, no, I'm literally, like, one of the nice things about Letterboxd is I can look at my diary and I can be, like, kind of cross-reference what time of day I probably watched a movie. So now I'm going to actually see if I can figure out if I watched this in the morning or at night on November 5th, 2018. That's what I'm saying.
We could have called the election and watched it Tuesday night to match. Yeah, imagine watching someone like, movie. Oh shit, Kamala just got Pennsylvania.
I watched this movie at night, and I probably watched this movie very late at night.
The thing is,
because it was my third movie of the day.
The thing is, I watched this movie this morning, and I was like, oh, what a great morning movie. And then we're talking.
It's a good morning movie.
And I'm like, oh, what a great evening movie. And then Cole,
it's a bad evening movie.
And then Cole, you're like, I watched this movie in the middle of the night, and I'm like, what a good middle of the night movie. I'm like, this movie is just, I found this so satisfying. And I'm sorry, but I did. My wife came in and watched a little bit of those, and she's like, these people are insufferable. And
yes,
I said,
they are.
And I said, yeah, but isn't it nice?
No.
Is it kind of charming?
These are the most insufferable.
So, Jeff,
people.
You liked this movie.
I did like this movie.
Stuart, I'm getting the sense you didn't like this movie.
I did not like this movie.
Interesting.
Cole, where are you at?
I mean, this is the best of the collabs, right? Like, fairly undeniably.
No. Dracula's
Dracula.
The best.
Are Secret you Lies of Pimpoli. Sure? And Scanner Darkly. This is the bottom of the barrel.
I don't know about that.
Cole. The Private Lives of Pippa Lee is better than this movie.
I know that Cole actually definitely likes Scanner Darkly and Dracula more than this, but this is very good.
No, this movie is worse than Private Lives of
Pippa Lee. Earnestly, my question is like, this movie is more successful at doing what it wants to do than Pippa Lee is.
Which is annoy me.
But Pippa Lee has like more ambitions. So I'm kind of like uncertain where I fall between the two of those.
I think it's better than Pippa Lee.
No.
Pippa Lee is just kind of like, eh. And this movie is kind of like, oh.
No.
Have you guys recorded The Cow yet?
The no. cow?
Uh-uh.
I wish I was on the cow.
What's the cow?
Where is it? I refuse to call it by its release title. Easy Riders. No, that's you're recording that one next week. I wish I was on the cow. Can I come back for the cow?
What is the cow?
What's the cow?
Oh, is it Gone in the Night?
Why was it called the Oh, wait. I think I know why they call it the cow.
No, you don't know why they call it. Have you seen it yet?
No.
No.
Then I assure you, you have no idea why it was shot under the title The Cow.
I'm very excited to learn why it was shot under the title The Cow.
Greatest reveals of the past 10 years. I spent that whole movie being like, why was this movie called The Cow?
And then you found out?
Because to be clear, Gone in the Night, guys, is basically the same starting point as Barbarian.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm.
It's like double booked Airbnb spooky movie.
Mm.
So have a fun time trying to parse why that movie is called
The Cow.
The Cow.
Cow waiting, living in the basement. If it's like Barbarian.
It's so much weirder. And that movie's not very good. Is this movie good? That is my big question.
Yes, it's good. I'm straight up going to say Destination Wedding is good.
No, it's not
good. I will straight up say it.
No, it's an insufferable movie. It's very annoying.
I need one of you to successfully change my mind over the course of this
movie. We're fighting now.
Well, okay, let's discuss the characters of this movie, played by Keanu and Winona Ryder. Yes. First off,
the only two actors in this movie.
The only two actors in the movie. No, except there for are other maid, actors.
The only two speaking roles maid in this movie.
Who does say something.
The only two people who have SAG cards.
No. I don't think the maid does say something. I think Winona yells at the maid.
Off camera.
Winona yells something in Spanish at her.
I think it's Winona in Spanish yelling at the maid, and they're both off camera.
Are Winona and Keanu good in this movie?
Yes.
No.
Both are.
No. No.
Yes.
No.
They're both charming.
No.
I think one of them is good and one of them is not good, but I'm not sure I know which is which.
I love this. I love this trichotomy. Yeah, so
this is what we have right now.
Yeah. Well, let me say this.
Stuart, I'm Kamala, you're Trump, and Colt is Pennsylvania. We're fighting
Why did you he's Pennsylvania. The roles there?
Because you hate Destination Wedding, which means...
Jeff.
Yes.
Don't compare Stuart. Let's be serious. Don't compare Stuart to Trump. He has so much more in common with J.D. Vance. Like,
I knew that was coming. I knew that was fucking coming.
Stuart, you want to go on the couch for a second?
Hey, Joe.
Yeah. Hey! Hey!
Mr. Pennsylvania himself.
Folks! It's okay.
It's so funny, Stuart, that basically our entire political system is set up to directly appeal to the only people in the country too stupid to live in New Jersey.
Folks! Folks! Jersey! You know?
It's popcorn! Jeff, did you see the video of the BBC reporter explaining its cheesesteak?
No, I really don't want to. Don't. Colt,
I don't think Winona and Keanu.
I was at my job a few days ago. The catering company had truly one of the great abominations of our age available.
Yeah. Philly cheese.
It was a.
I had a cheesesteak this morning. It was pretty good.
Vegan chicken cheesesteak.
Oh, that sounds good.
Which, no, like in concept, sounds fine. It sounds like not a cheesesteak. It's a vegan Philly chicken cheesesteak.
No, I get it. Vegan chicken chili cheesesteak, right?
Philly cheesesteak.
Philly cheesesteak. And you think in concept.
A cheesesteak is steak and cheese.
Yeah, it sounds great. And you almost say like a movie. We bring Winona and Keanu back together. Yes. And it's just them talking about their.
Sounds good.
Sounds good, right?
Yeah. And because it is.
Then you watch the movie and it fucking sucks.
No, that's good.
It's
the thing about this movie is it's good.
Really bad. This is a bad movie.
The thing about this movie is it is like shockingly audacious.
You know what? And the thing that I think could have made this movie really good. And it's just, I'm going to say this because like I really believe this, that I've been a little bit hard on Keanu and I'll admit to that. I've been not a big Keanu fan this podcast. But I have to harp on it even more, though, that Keanu and Winona, and I'm not, like, kind of, you said something similar, Cole. Like, I'm not sure whose fault it is, but they're not on the same energy wavelength.
They're not on the same, and okay.
And I don't know whose fault it is. I don't know if it's Keanu can't get on Winona's wavelength or if it's Winona can't get on Keanu's wavelength, but something isn't. Their performances, which is the entire fucking movie, is like two dissonant piano keys playing at the same time.
Isn't that the idea, though?
No. Okay,
that's the idea of the movie.
No.
I wasn't sure when to bring this up, but you're right, Stuart. Like, it doesn't click exactly the way you want it to click. And this is a movie that is entirely conceived of vis-a-vis the idea that it is finally capital T, the Keanu Winona movie. Or I think appropriately the Winona Keanu movie, because she is top billed, which is a little crazy to me. But
because this is coming right in the height of the John Wick.
This movie shoots in the immediate aftermath of Wick 2 coming out. So it's like, yes, she has had the comeback, but he has had the more recent higher profile comeback. Because if you think about it, this whole movie is contingent on the sense of like Keanu, Winona, we know they're a great screen pair. It's a slam dunk. But truly, it's like, are they a great screen pair or are they a great off-screen pair? Because they don't really gel very well in Dracula, and no one likes them together in Dracula.
Yeah.
Scanner Darkly,
they're not
a movie people think of her as being in. Pippa Lee, not a movie anyone thinks of, and they don't share a scene together, right? So this is really the only movie they've ever made together that is like their La La Land, right? To analogize to like Gosling and Stone. Here's the question I had while watching this movie.
Yes.
And it's a controversial one given the crowd I'm about to pitch this to.
Yes.
And know that I'm not being trolly when I say this. This is just an earnest thought.
So fucking ready.
Immaterial of who is individually good and individually bad in this movie. Is the problem with this movie, well, not the problem, but is one of the issues with this movie that Winona Ryder is in it, period. And should this movie, Jeff, I think you, do you know where I'm going with this?
I have my curiosities.
Should this be the Keanu Carrie Ann reunion? Because look, Matrix 4 has not been announced when this comes out, let alone when it shoots.
Look, no, this should be the Keanu Winona movie. Because it works. I think it works.
No, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. So Jeff, I want to establish something. You said earlier, it's like, isn't that the point that's supposed to be too distant? No. Yeah. Here's the problem. Like, there's a difference between...
They're two dissonant keys that eventually harmonize.
Listen. No, they never harmonize in this movie. They never once harmonize.
They briefly harmonize in this movie.
When do they harmonize, Cole?
When they're in bed together.
That's yeah. No.
Yes.
The bed stuff is where this movie is going.
When she's explaining what she likes about him and what he's explaining what he likes about her,
no,
she's in the pajamas.
She is in this whole, like, she just...
Well, Stuart, your shirt kind of looks similar to the pajamas she's wearing.
She gives up the act of like, oh, you and I are the same where love isn't for us. Because then she switches her whole tone to be like, maybe we should start a little relationship. And Keanu's like, no, I'm bad dude. I am bad man. We are only fucking tonight, and that's it. And it's like, but you don't want to consider? And it almost makes it more dissonant and worse, because it's like, at least in the beginning, they're both like, oh, we're both reluctantly going to this wedding. We're both really people who hate our own lives and blah, 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 are miserable. Like, again, insufferable. And I can even get behind a movie about two insufferable people liking each other. I can even get behind that. It's not.
That's what it is.
Of course you can, Stuart. You like the whale.
Okay, that's great. I'll give you that one, Cole. But like, who's the other person? Oh, it's Sadie Sink. Yeah. Sadie Sink. Okay.
More like sink this movie out of my brain or whatever. I don't know. Sadie's nuts.
I think Sadie Sink should be put in a box and that box should be pushed out into the ocean.
for the whale.
All right. So
these are my thoughts on Sadie Sink.
But like this, it's not
even the worst performance in The Whale, to be clear.
Oh, right. It's the priest kid. I don't even remember his fucking name.
And also maybe Samantha Morton.
Samantha Morton also bad in The Whale.
Really bad. Everyone except for Hong Chau is terrible in The Whale. Hong Chau is like mediocre in The Whale.
I will not be drawn into another whale debate with you.
A whale
but
debate.
It's the fact that not only are these two insufferable, but
whale
like,
debate, more like masturbate, because that's what he's doing at the beginning of that movie.
Oh, brother, this guy stinks!
All right, enough. So it's bad enough that these two are insufferable people, that they're the worst of the kind, right?
Yes.
But then it's the fact that, like, Keanu seems to be in this, like, monotone, I'm at the end of my wits with life in general sort of behavior. And when Nona's playing this off like, oh, well, I got my heart broken and I'm coming here for closure and maybe this will help me move on with my life. And at no point do I ever feel like that these two could ever be in a trajectory where they end up actually being together, except in the movie that makes Keanu do one of the worst like performance bits in his career where he has to like somehow non-verbally like convince the audience that he's changed his mind about Winona, but it's in a way that's not believable whatsoever. And it makes the ending of the movie fucking laughable. That I'm like,
the ending of the movie is horseshit.
It's so horseshit.
To be clear.
It's
Jeff,
horseshit.
You have to also agree that the ending of the movie is ridiculous.
What, him showing up at her house?
Yeah.
It's nice.
Oh, Jeff.
He got the address off the taxi guy.
Jeff. Oh, gee, no shit. Yeah. Like, yeah, of course he did. But he's going
to
like.
What do you want him to do? Just go home?
That's what he would do. That's the kind of piece of shit he is.
They're changed.
No.
No, they're not.
They're not.
They're perfect for each other.
No, you're not. No, they're not. They're the worst people for anybody. They should be put in a fucking box and send off in the ocean. By the way, and I love Winona Ryder as an actress. It's just she's doing a great job at playing the most annoying fucking person you could ever cross paths with at your cousin's wedding. I mean,
that's the thing in this movie's favor. It's like the sheer audacity of just like locking you in a room with like two incredibly abrasive people
the
for
worst types
minutes
of people
and not
to see at a wedding.
Not ever giving you an out.
There's always the annoying like distant related like brother who hasn't talked to the family in 5 years that you don't even want. If you're matched to his table, you did something wrong. You fucked up on the invite list. But if you're put next to the ex, then you're like, you also really fucked up. And so I get the concept that this movie is putting these two together, but then they don't like milk that process at all because it is hindered by the fact that there are no other speaking roles. Mm. So there's no comparison to the fact. There should have been like one little bit where it's like, let's see one of them talk to a normal person and see how that normal person reacts to them.
I know that this is
to
like,
give us like a gauge.
I know that this is like a thing that people throw out a lot as like a dumb fan theory about movies. I'm not going to say this is like literally what this movie is about, but in a way you're kind of just trapped in purgatory with these two people. Like,
like that's which is why the ending is bad.
That's why the ending is really bad.
I think they get to
the movie is also when I saw this the first time, I was like so kind of bowled over by just its commitment to the bit that I was like, nothing else matters.
So cool.
But I do have to wonder if like this movie is at like a honestly, Stuart, you're not gonna like this, but it's true. This movie is in fact about like 40% as annoying as it should be.
40% as annoying as it should be.
I think it's the right amount of annoying.
It's a little like, too sweet.
Because then when they have sex and they talk about the fucking cougar and they have their different conversations for like literally 10 minutes of the movie, I am like squirming in my couch, like, make it stop, make it stop. And it's not even like,
he
should have been, no, this is how you make that scene better. You split the two off and they hook up with the random person at a wedding.
No.
Yes.
That's right.
That's how you make that scene better, is that it's a 10-minute montage cutting back and forth to their each having sex. He's bitching and complaining about his low life to a regular girl. She's bitching and complaining about going to her ex's wedding to a regular fucking bachelor, whoever it is.
Okay.
And it's like, and you as the audience sees them cutting back. She's like, Keanu and Winona should be fucking each other.
That's
the juice of the movie.
That's a good idea for a different movie.
No,
at that point, you've made this a different movie.
Because then the alternative is you put these two people and you're fucking like, how do you not squirm at this? Like, this is horrible. Like, who are these people and how did this mystical, magical cloud strike them with lightning and thought it was a good idea to fuck in the bushes?
I like that this is a movie
says crabs.
He does say crabs. He does yell crabs.
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 I'm laughing at how stupid it is. It's so stupid. Then to have it think that like this is a smart thing to include after like a quote unquote near death experience with a mountain lion, which whether it was a mountain lion or a puma, could not give a fuck. Okay.
Look, here's the thing.
You shouldn't run away from a mountain lion, by the way.
You shouldn't. You're supposed to stand your ground and look big.
Yeah.
What I like,
thank you, Stuart,
about this movie is that you're trapped with the two most insufferable people in the world and you grow to kind of love them. That's what I like.
Cole,
I
looked at the camera
to enjoy these people's company.
I looked at the camera as if Cole could see me, but we turned our video off.
And I looked at you too.
Did you ever grow to fucking love these people?
Cole was staring at a black screen.
I'm reaching my pointer finger out. Like,
I literally did the same thing, Cole. Jeff could adjust. I literally pointed to the camera, to the laptop where you are.
I'm trying to do the ET touch through my laptop.
Cole Bradley. Did you ever like these people?
No!
I kind of like them.
But I don't think I dislike them as much as I want to either. That's my problem.
I don't know. I think Pennsylvania look a little red.
What?
I think Pennsylvania look a little red. I think Cole's starting to side with
me. I know. We still have 200,000 mail-in ballots from Philadelphia to come through. It's time yet.
Still time. But like, then like, what's the joke with them having the really long sex scene? Explain it to me, please.
Well, that's how long sex happens, Stuart. I don't know if you know this, but...
So, what I like about that scene, I like that it's the two of them that they're having like bad sex essentially. And I like that it keeps up the movie's bit of just like them. They have very verbose styles of speaking. It's very
irritatingly verbose styles of speaking. They have one might
extremely
say.
Written styles of speaking.
Yeah.
And throughout the first half of the movie, I'm thinking like, is this overwritten? And then we get to the sex scene and they're fucking and having bad sex and they're still having a full blown discussion in this over. And so I'm like, oh no, this is part of the sauce. This is the joke.
Yeah, of course it is. I just don't think it's a good sauce.
I don't think it's sauce at all. I think like they're fucking spilled ketchup on the table and you're frantically trying to wipe it down, but with the wrong Clorox wipe. So it stains even more. Like it's the worst kind of like collaboration of resources possible.
Like, where they're thinking, when they're just having sex and they're still like oh yes.
Imagine the writer
in.
Who's pitching this to the guys and they're like, and then they meet a mountain lion, but then they don't know what to do. And they keep talking back and forth like, oh, this will be really bad if we die together. At least
the
your brother will be
different. The mountain lion is
funny. It's not funny at all. That bit's a little funny. Everything around that bit is not funny. The bit that they keep talking about, whether it's would it be sad or funny for them to die, found be dead together, is not funny.
That's the funniest bit.
No, it's not.
In the movie.
It's not the funniest bit.
Yes.
When they keep having this conversation around the mountain lion.
Are coming through.
They keep having this fucking conversation about what you're supposed to do with the mountain lion. Oh my God, no one can hear us within a few miles. Oh, they'll find their bones. Oh no, actually they won't. They like to drag corpses around away. Like, I don't give a shit. I don't give a shit. This doesn't tell me anything about your characters to each other. What would tell me about your characters is like what I physically see you do, which then turns into Keanu like, which is a little funny, but
it's very
like
funny.
That could have been like any really other funny bit.
Sir, you might say a little funny. You know what I'm holding my hand out as if Cole can say it. A little funny. I might say a lot funny.
And then they escape.
This movie kind of rule.
This movie's great.
No, it doesn't rule. It doesn't rule.
I'm going to convince you otherwise. Put my feet in a foot bath.
Because then what happens next?
Pour a glass of Chardonnay and watch this movie.
They run down a fucking hill. Where are they going, by the way? Where are they going?
They're in purgatory. They're just wandering.
No, they're just wandering.
They're going back to the wedding.
No, they're not, though. They're wandering away.
They're clearly going back to the wedding.
They're wandering away from the wedding. That was the whole
thing. Do you know the geography of the
You know the geography?
Because after
they have sex, which is after they've wandered away from the wedding, they meet the mountain lion, then they go down the hill, they have sex down the hill, and then they wander away again and they get to back to the van shuttle that takes them to their hotel. What kind of a fucking geographical, like, where did they go? Winona said, I just want to go on a walk. And so they go on
They just went on a walk.
They went on a walk
You've
to the
never
fucking,
gone on a walk before, Stuart?
I've never gone on a walk with
You're a hiker.
I've never gone on a walk with an insufferable stranger I've never wanted to spend more than 5 seconds in a room with. And so if
I think you actually have. You've gone on hiking trips with people.
Not with insufferable people who I couldn't be caught dead with.
I don't know.
You don't know?
I don't know.
I could save you the trouble. I know.
Do you bring a mirror with you or not?
Stuart, you and I are going to go on a hike one of these days.
We have!
Yeah, I know. And I just kept talking to you about bullshit, right?
No, you just kept saying, hey, Stuart, fuck you. Because yeah, you true. Hated hiking. Because yeah, you wore fucking slacks.
I didn't wear slacks.
Jeff, do you hate hiking?
I'm not a hiker.
He wore
Why
slacks.
Would anyone go on a hike? It doesn't make any sense.
It's fun. You see nature.
You know,
nature sucks.
Nature's pretty great.
You know what
Nature's
I like?
Nature's lame.
You know what I like about
the
nature?
Earth is dying, Cole.
You know why I like nature? What I like to do with nature? I like to, you know, be in a vehicle, a train, a plane, an automobile. And you drive from one location to the other and you get out and you kind of walk around, you see it, and then you get back in the vehicle and go to the next
That's
one.
Called hiking, Jeff. You drive around, you park your car, you get around, you hike around.
Well, no, like you pull right up to the thing and then you walk up to it and you kind of like the little 10-minute trail.
What if you pull right up to the thing and then you don't get out of the car?
See, that's also nice too.
That's pretty nice.
That's just driving. You're just driving.
Yeah.
Yeah. But there's like nice driving.
Just fine. I like to drive too.
But sometimes someone else drives you because you're on a train.
Yes.
But wait, are you being driven when you're on a train?
Yes.
Yes. There's a driver.
But
trains have drivers.
Trains have conductors.
No, and they also have drivers. Those are two different positions.
Stuart.
I'm going to look it up.
You've seen.
No, I'm 100% right. Conductors and drivers. Conductors do not drive the train.
Stuart, you've seen Spider-Man 2. There's the guy and he pulls the little lever and speeds the train up.
Have you never seen the great American film Unstoppable?
Stuart,
starring Denzel Washington and Chris Pine.
Cole.
Stuart, have you seen that movie?
I have seen that
movie.
It's
a great
Cole.
Movie.
Okay, if you remember that
and movie. Kevin Dunn, lest we forget.
Chris Pine is the conductor. Denzel Washington is the driver.
Yeah.
Chris Pine is coordinating with base and making all the calls. Denzel Washington is the person like physically inputting Chris Pine's orders
dimension
into the machine
in driving a train, and that is faster or slower. Or
no,
stop.
There's like you're doing all the technical operation. Yeah, like the driver actually handles
to
all the
what?
Controls.
What do they do? What do the buttons do? Besides make the train go faster,
I've never driven a train.
Yeah, sometimes they turn.
Like we can be.
Sometimes you turn.
You can't turn on a track, Cole.
Yes, you can.
You can't. You can't turn on a track.
No, but earnestly,
one way.
Conductors do not handle the actual like machinery of the driving console.
Okay, fine. Trains have drivers.
So trains sure. have drivers.
For one
it's
thing,
a different
trains
job
do have
in
this
drivers.
Fucking show.
Sir, I might remind you, I was a yard master for 10 years, Miss Hooper. Luck has no business in a rail yard.
Okay, thank you, Kevin Dunn.
That's all I had to say.
Why are we watching? Are you guys going to do Chris Pine on this
we
podcast?
We should do Pine Nuts.
Well, there's an alternate dimension called Pine Nuts.
Yeah. Oh, wait, we did do Chris Pine on this show. Yeah, Cole, on our Star Trek
episode.
For April
Fool's Day, what year can we just do an Unstoppable episode?
Stuart, on our Star Trek episode, we traveled to an alternate dimension where Mark Tilly hosted a show called Pine Nuts.
Yeah.
As is well known.
You know it's an alternate dimension because Mark has the work ethic to host anything.
So anyway, so I think we're all in agreement that these are two good people.
No, I don't think we've gotten an agreement on a single thing on this movie. These are two insufferable people who never make it convincing. I do have to say that
we do need to wrap this up within the next 20 minutes.
That's so okay.
20 minutes?
Make your closing
That's argument. Okay. Listen, this movie stars two insufferable people.
Cole, are you just actively trying to beat the time?
Who
yes. The shortest guest episode?
Who seem to, like, the movie makes it sound like that they're going to convince you for the next hour that we're going to somehow see the good in these people. But not only that, we're going to see the good in each.
No,
in themselves.
We're not going to see the good in them.
Oh bullshit.
It's not
Jeff.
About,
you can't
it's
say,
not about the good.
No, that this movie wants you to see the good in the people.
No, it's not about the good. It's about just kind of like liking them.
That's the same thing.
No, it's not the same.
I'm with Stuart. I'm with Stuart on That's this one. We're going thing. Red. We're going red.
No, no.
We're going red. but then it's even worse than that.
Pencil
because
Tucky's
the movie
coming
tries,
day of voting
not only tries
quantities.
To convince you to, in Jess words, like them a little bit, but they also try to convince you to like them together.
Yeah, because
a
they're
little
good
bit.
Together.
I never they're once ever fucking think that they're good for each other. Like, and that makes the ending of the movie extremely stupid.
I think,
but it also makes the whole movie like insufferable to endure.
Yeah,
like
they're two insufferable people, and you're happy that they found each other.
No, I think.
But I'm not.
The world is a millisecond
be,
from imploding.
Not.
The world is a millisecond away from imploding. Should they spend another ounce of time together?
Because that's the thing is like when you meet insufferable people in the world. You want them to be with other insufferable people. You don't want them bothering you good people.
Jeff, now you're switching your tune here.
No, I'm saying that's what this... No, that, because, at the end of this, you like them and you're happy
no,
they're together.
You know what's worse? Like, worse than like an insufferable person with a non-insufferable person?
What?
Two insufferable people together. Because guess what? Those people have to have lunch with other folks on occasion. And there's nothing worse than being in a
not
dinner
not if
table.
They're these two people.
Oh,
yeah,
hold
they don't
on.
Talk to other people.
Hold on. Hold on, Stuart.
I like these two people just don't talk to other people. They're never going to talk to anyone else.
I'm
they're
looking
just
at the
be,
camera.
They're
like,
just going to be
Cole,
together.
Cole's going to...
They're
no,
just
no.
going to be together.
It wasn't fucking Wednesday, Jeff. That's like how they're... That's the dynamic of the relationship. It wasn't fucking Wednesday. Like, no. This I think this entire movie was just a goddamn waste of time and space and energy. It would have been a better movie if it leaned more into the purgatory fact to prove that these two are need to suffer in hell. But it's like...
It's not... Like, have you guys seen, like, the John Cassavetes film Husbands?
No.
No.
Which is, like, 2.5 hours of, like, three awful dudes just hanging out and just, like, being awful. And it's just, like, you're locked in there with them and they're so repellent and the movie, like, doesn't give you the out.
Isn't this Entourage?
I've never seen Entourage. I'm an adult. I'm in my 30s, okay? I'm not fucking watching Entourage.
Hey, yo, Vinny Chase.
I don't know which one Vinny Chase is.
I don't either. I've never seen an episode of Entourage.
I've never seen Entourage. Isn't it funny how we can criticize Entourage and yet no one's ever...
Yeah, I think you can. I think Entourage is the show that everyone has the right to criticize without seeing
it. I will forever hold a grudge against Entourage because HBO picked up Entourage at the expense of a Linklater show.
That's a bummer.
A secret true piece of history.
They went with Mark Wahlberg's show. That's sad.
Yeah, Linklater had shot a pilot for them starring a pre-ugly Betty America Ferrara, by the way. Whoa. Academy Award nominee America Ferrara was in a Linklater pilot about a fast food restaurant.
All right, I'm going to throw one at you guys. I'm going to throw something at you guys. Destination Wedding, Winona Ryder, Mark Wahlberg.
See, that's good.
Sure.
That's good.
I want to just shake up the like obviousness of the Keanu Winona of it.
I like...
What's Marky Mark doing? So this is like the last year Mark Wahlberg is in a real movie, right?
Yeah, because this is like Deepwater Horizon, right?
No, this is Mile 22.
Oh, okay.
This is Mile 22 and the movie he made with Isabella Merced and Rose Byrne.
What, the movie made with Isabella Merced, you mean Transformers The Last Night?
Is she in Transformers The Last Night?
Oh, wait, no, she's not. She's not. I'm mixing her up.
No, she's in Instant Family. She's in Instant Family.
Wait, no, Isabella Merced is in Transformers The Last Night.
Okay, then maybe she is. I don't know.
She's in Transformers The Last Night.
Good for her.
She plays Isabella.
She plays a streetwise orphan who is orphaned in the Battle of Chicago. Yes. That sounds pretty good. I'm just going to say that.
Yeah, she travels to Cybertron with them for the big battle.
Isabella Merced rules. Stuart, have you ever seen the Dora the Explorer movie?
No, I never will.
Jeff, have you ever seen the Dora the Explorer
movie? I have not, but I do need to.
Stuart, I'm here to tell you the Dora the Explorer movie is like Paddington good.
Wow.
Like people haven't tipped off to this. It's actually incredible.
Okay.
Yeah. So
this is the one that came out like a little while
ago. You know what else is
like right before COVID?
You know what else is actually great? Destination Wedding.
No.
See, I'm going to hit you with something else though. Dora and the Lost City of Gold. Okay.
That's what I'm talking about. That movie's great. If you guys, listeners, if you like the Paddington movies and want something that's going to scratch the Paddington itch, Dora and the Lost City of Gold is kind of terrific.
Here's the last thing I'm going to hit with Destination Wedding. And this might actually go against my own point, but I'm going to say it anyway. It wouldn't even matter if you switched out one of the two leads or both of the leads. Because I was thinking of like, is this movie different with it being like a classic, like George Clooney and
Julia Roberts.
Like, is it changed this movie at all for me? If I just think of it in that way.
So if it's and the it other Destination it, Wedding movie ticket right, to right, ride exactly, about two people.
Exactly. And it doesn't. It doesn't change the movie for me one bit whatsoever. So I don't even necessarily think, like, as much as I harped on the fact that, like, Winona and Reeves never seem to, like, get onto each other's wavelength in terms of, like, the timing and pace with their performances. Because I don't even necessarily think it's, like, they're performing in a way to be different from each other, Jeff. It's literally like their tonalities, the timing, like the song and dance of like having a scene partner. It's like, it's not working. It's not working at all. So I thought to myself, I was like, okay, do I see like a George Clooney, Julia Roberts combo in here working? And I don't even either with that.
You think that the script and the story itself, it's just not conducive.
Well, it's not conducive.
No, but Stuart, I'm with you on this because you were saying the thing about how you wanted to see them having sex with other people.
Yes.
And while I like don't necessarily know that I agree specifically on that tip, though it's an interesting pitch. Here's what I do think is problem number one with this movie is its commitment to the bit. Because I'm thinking like obviously this movie is like the like – ne plus ultra of this entire like mode of filmmaking is Richard Linklater's Before Sunrise, right? Yeah. This idea that like we're going to have two people who meet kind of by chance and we're going to spend the entire movie with them as they just like have philosophical conversations and fall in love or don't, right? That's a whole like cottage industry.
Yeah.
Every other one of those movies does have them talk to other people at one point.
Exactly.
And I'm like, I'm not – literally, you just get like a better shape of the relationship by seeing them interact with its outer limits.
Because
right, to be so hermetically sealed in just this conversation doesn't actually tell me anything. And part of the problem with it not telling me anything is that the script isn't good enough. So they're just like hitting the same conversations over and over again. But you don't get any additional shading that would come from having a third party interact with them. And it's just like, again, I respect the perverse dedication to the joke, but it is, I think, a conceptual flaw of the movie. And like, could it maybe be overcome if this wasn't like a movie by someone who was like a late period Mad About You showrunner? Probably.
It's like, it's kind of weird that he's,
because I can see in the infancy of this idea being like somewhat sounding okay, like this is just gonna be these two people, Winona and Reeves, reuniting in this movie, and they're gonna be horrible people and they're gonna talk about their problems throughout the entire course. We're not even going to focus on the wedding. We're going to only focus on these people.
Yeah.
We're going to skip the beauty shots of the wedding and the reception. It's just going to be these people. Like, I could see that pitch being like, okay, yeah. But then you're right, Cole. It's like, it's a flaw at its conception, because then you're right. You don't get that. Even it doesn't have, I'm not asking for like a long-winded dialogue scene with another person in the room. All I'm at, like, even if they go to
you just want to butt up against things. You just want a little variety.
Literally, they could go out to dinner together and the waitress has a few lines.
That's literally what I'm talking about. Like the incidental things like that. where they don't they both interact with a third party at the very end of the movie and never before. Oh, I guess they do yell at the housekeeping lady who's off screen.
They do.
But like, that's it. Like, it's like these a few in the back half, these like brief one-sided like barked commands. But that's not anything there. And like, would it be better if it were Carrie Ann Moss and there was real chemistry? Maybe. Would it be better if the script was better? Maybe.
I just think like nobody you can put in these roles to make it to spruce it up.
Okay, well,
than it
but,
is.
But here's my other. And this is maybe going to be controversial, but I had this thought 2 months ago when I was watching a movie that I have been officially barred from mentioning on this podcast. So I'm not going to say the name of the movie, but I was watching a movie that Winona Ryder is in.
Yes.
And I did have the thought, late Winona Ryder. 2016 on Winona Ryder, post-comeback Winona Ryder. Is she a good actress?
I know what your movie you're talking about, but we can't.
I'm legally barred from speaking about this movie.
Yeah, we can't say
on this podcast.
We can't say it because there's risks of what could happen if we say it three times.
No, I don't believe in that. I just like Jeff told me I'm not allowed to ever mention this movie on this podcast.
You are allowed to mention that
movie. Jeff said I'm a he's a bad friend and he won't let me talk about this movie.
Colt wanted to be on the Beetlejuice episode, but someone had already booked it. And then he texted me, Jeff, can I have Threedle Juice? But someone had claimed it 20 minutes prior if they make a third one.
Damn.
It was crazy.
I don't think she's bad in Beetlejuice 2.
She's bad in Beetlejuice 2. She's bad in this. She's bad in Gone in the Night. She's bad at Experimenter. Her last good performance is Black Swan.
I don't know about
that. That's what I'm thinking.
We're going to talk about
that's
when we
where
get
I'm
to,
at.
When we get to Beetlejuice.
She's bad in Haunted Mansion.
She's in like one scene in Haunted Mansion.
I know, it's not a good scene. It's not a good scene.
I think
you know who's good at Beetlejuice too, though, is Jenna Ortega. Can we talk about Jenna Ortega real quick?
You know,
no, but I think we need to know. Listen, the ballots are coming in.
Wait. I got one final thing to say about
this. Jeff, if you want to convince me that Swiss belongs on a cheesesteak, like go to town.
No. And so Destination Wedding. My final point is it's kind of nice. To see two nice actors who are both attractive walk around for 87 minutes saying verbose dialogue at each other.
I've seen so many movies that do this better.
It's the word verbose dialogue.
Yeah, isn't that kind of nice?
Have you never watched a Romero film?
In pleasant environments.
Dog shit dialogue.
Jeff, go watch My Night at Mod's.
Also, the movie looks bad.
Okay, it doesn't
look
very cheap.
The movie looks... very good.
How often on this podcast do I even mention cinematography and lighting?
It looks good.
Look,
and I think this movie looks
good. It looks good.
I think it looks fine. It is very cheap looking.
It's a very
but you know
cheap
what it doesn't
Netflix
you know what
movie.
It doesn't look like
what
it doesn't look like it was shot in Atlanta.
Yeah. No, Stuart, you mentioned Julia Roberts and George Clooney.
Yeah.
Have you seen Ticket to Paradise?
No, and I'm sure.
Okay,
I'm
Jeff, sure. Have you seen Ticket to Paradise?
No, but I know what you're going to say.
I've seen Ticket to Paradise, and as an expert on this subject, Destination Wedding looks good because it looks like a movie.
Ticket to Paradise, to my understanding, is like mostly green screened.
Oh, nice.
There is.
They shot this on real sets. Green screen.
Secondly, it's bad green screening. Third, the opening scene of that movie is set in LaGuardia Airport, okay?
Yes.
One half of the coverage is actually shot in LaGuardia. The other half of the coverage is green screen.
We've really fallen as a country if it's a compliment to a movie to be like, they shot it at a real location.
They shot it at a place.
They shot it at a place.
They didn't use
this
the volume.
This movie exists in real spaces.
Yeah, that's such a fucking fall out of grace for our industry. If that's
Stuart, imagine Destination Wedding shot on the volume.
Low-key, there are some times it kind of looks like it is, but...
No, it looks like it's shot in real spaces. I do have a question about the location.
Yes.
Is this actually a destination wedding?
I do think it is.
They both live in California.
Well, they do, but they are going to a vineyard in the middle of fucking nowhere.
It's not in the middle of nowhere. It's in wine country. Okay, so Jeff, was for me your wedding a destination wedding?
I think
I traveled farther and you were also in the middle of nowhere.
I also do think that a destination wedding is dependent upon the bride and groom's living situation.
The bride
think
and
you have
groom's.
To cross a body of water.
You think?
I think you have to cross a body of water.
I think wine country, if you don't live in wine country, is
but all these characters live in California is the thing.
But they don't live in wine country.
They're 4 hours away. If it's a 4 hour drive, it's not a destination wedding.
Where do the? It depends where the bride and groom live. Do they also live in
LA? Ticket to Paradise is set in Bali.
All right.
To be clear.
Any final thoughts?
I traveled longer than they did to your wedding, Jeff.
That's fair.
Honestly, both trips, because I had a two-leg trip. Because I had to go to Chicago, and then I had to go to Libertyville. And I probably spent more time going to Libertyville than they spent in that plane. Sorry to blow up where you got married.
It's fine. Yeah, I don't think anyone's going to be seeking out my venue in Libertyville. If you do, it's a nice spot. You should get married there.
Did I ever tell you? I'll tell you this off mic.
Okay. All right. So, Stuart, you were winding this up. But
I think we both made
our closing arguments, I think, right?
And if, ladies and gentlemen of the audience, if you think we missed talking about the plot, no, we didn't.
Literally nothing happened. They run into each other. They don't like each other, but they keep talking to each other, and then they have sex, and then they're like, do we like each other? And Keanu's like, no, but then he's like, yes.
Yeah, that's the plot of the movie. Nothing happens.
I rest my case.
You rest your case.
The prosecution rest, Your Honor.
So Jenna Ortega in Beetlejuice.
No, we shan't. We shan't.
It's a very interesting performance.
We shan't. We shan't,
Cole. In the degree to which it is existing entirely in opposition to everything Winona is doing in 2024 and in 1988. Right? She's like playing off both opposite to both these diametrically opposed Winona like screen personas.
Cole, who won Pennsylvania? True.
I mean, if anyone wants to weigh the vote, we can talk about Beetlejuice too. I am bribable.
Cole, I'm going to let you send something in for the Beetlejuice 2 episode.
You should just let me have Beetlejuice 3 because I was asking Cole before whoever this
I'll let you have Beetlejuice 3.
Yes.
Threedlejuice. Jeff, we're only calling it.
Jeff.
That. Yes.
Jeff, I'm sorry. But I don't think Swiss belongs on a cheesesteak. And so I am. Pennsylvania is going red.
Oh no!
God damn it!
So you're deciding that destination wedding is not good.
Destination wedding, 5 out of 10, not good. But destination wedding is worse than the Private Lives of Pippa Lee.
I don't agree with that.
I think I've landed with Stuart. But it is not the worst movie I've talked about on this podcast.
Is that Paradise
all
City?
All right, and now we're going to close we did the Paradise out City here.
All right, so I'm Cole, how are we doing on the timer?
I didn't actually set a timer.
Right, final thing before I wrap us out. Presidential elections in 3 days.
We
do
so
we want to make a prediction for the election? Because the last time Joe Biden dropped out, do we want to make any predictions? What do we think?
Well, this episode's going to air.
I know, because then they can fact check us if we were remotely correct.
Well, I like to ask, like, what states do we think they're going to win? Like, what key swing states are going to go where?
Stuart, heat check, Harris or Trump?
Harris.
Cole, heat check.
Did you see the Seltzer poll last night?
I did.
Harris, easy.
Yeah, it's Harris. I think we're all
Harris.
In
Harris has it locked up. Oh my god!
I think it's going to be. I think everyone's going to be surprised. I think that the Harris margin
but
will be bigger.
I think it's. I'm gonna say this. I actually do be think careful. Harris is going to like take a bunch of the swing states and win handily, but Pennsylvania goes red. And
it's
I'm not just
possible.
Saying that because that's been the runner. I just do think Pennsylvania is going to go red.
Just be careful,
well. It happened
guys.
Today. It happened today. Pennsylvania went red today.
Pennsylvania went red today.
That's what Destination Wedding, right,
bad movie.
I don't know. Just
more like Good Wedding. I don't know.
When I think of Philadelphians, I think of people who are impressed by Donald Trump wearing the safety jacket.
No.
It's like jangling keys in front of them.
We're proud people. We're proud people.
Wait, sorry. So you're what?
We're proud people.
Okay.
What?
Of Philadelphia. So
it's
a good place.
We've made our pitches on like who's going to win the election. Do we think Trump will accept the results?
No.
Well, here's the real question. Yes, does Trump die before this episode drops? Yes. Or no? See, like, does Trump beef it before this episode drops? And
we are not condoning any assassination attempts on the former president.
And is Kamala president when this episode drops? Do the two old guys both have heart attacks on the same day, like fucking Thomas Jefferson and Benjamin Franklin or whoever?
John Adams.
John Adams.
I just really hope.
Both died on the same day. Biden and Trump both beef it on the same day.
I just like, I feel like I know a couple of second cousins of mine who may be in the second wave of attacks on the Capitol if he loses. And I'm really worried about it. I'm actually stressed about that. Oh, God. You are all getting arrested. I'm going to say this on mic on air. Like anybody who fucking goes to another goddamn insurrection attempt on the Capitol, you're all getting fucking arrested. And I hope you do.
Jeff, random question, but this popped in my head the other day, and I was just wondering: have you seen the movie where Tommy Lee Jones plays Douglas MacArthur?
No, but it sounds good.
It does sound like a Jeff movie, though, right?
It does. I should probably watch it, right?
Yeah.
One of these days I'm going to do my president's podcast.
Can I be the co-host of your president's podcast?
Sure. Skull.
And can the bit of the president's podcast be, we talk about what president each episode of Glee makes us think about?
No. All right. So I'm wrapping this up. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Trolls and Presents Easy Riders. Cole, thank you for joining us for your final Easy Riders installment. We will see you again for our next person.
Yes. When am I back? I'm actually not back on for a while, though.
Yeah, it's a little spell.
It's like 6 months. It's like 6 months.
I am sure you will wind up back earlier than that for something or another.
Oh, right. You have something planned.
Yeah,
I
forgot. You will be back within the next 2 months for your contractually obligated forced episode that I can pick whatever I want. Anyway. Thanks so much for listening.
And I know what you're picking. For the record, I do know what it is.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode.
I figured it out.
Presents Easy Riders. Special thanks, as always, to please write a rate, review, and subscribe whatever platform you're listening on. Spotify, Podcast, Google Podcasts, YouTube. At TrollsPod, Twitter, Instagram, r/Travolting on Reddit. At Jeff W. Sweeney for me on Twitter. Hopefully the world has not exploded by this point. Special thanks, as always, to Beck Johnson for the graphic design, Michael Van Bodegum Smith for the theme music. Have a great week, folks.
Do I not get to plug anything?
Cole, say it.
Are we recording?
Yes, we are.
Okay. Let me just double check a date here really quick, because I'm pretty sure, Jeff, we did it again.
Did we do it again?
I think we did it again. Let me see here. If you go listen to the most recent episode of my podcast, Jeff is on it.
Above the title, we were talking about the space.
Above the title, a Colin Farrell podcast. Jeff is on it, and Jeff will also be on... not the next episode to come out, but the one that comes out after that, which in theory would be 2 weeks from now, but I don't want to promise anything.
Yeah, we'll
see what
happens.
Get it recorded in time. We'll see what happens. I can't get a straight answer from Connor about when we're recording that episode.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
We'll figure
it
out.
You should listen to a famously normal podcast episode about a famously normal movie called The Spaceman.
Spaceman. One of the weirdest things I've ever watched. All right. Have a great week, folks. See you next week for an episode on Sarah Cooper, Everything's Fine.